Hey, and welcome to the Healthy Fit Life podcast. I'm your host, Paul Hanton. Today, I'll be talking to Alan Meisner, who is a coach, author, and podcast host. Not only is Alan a certified personal trainer, but he is also the host of 40 Plus Fitness Podcast, the largest and longest running health and fitness podcast for people over 40. He is also the author of The Wellness Roadmap, a straightforward guide to health and fitness over 40. Today, we'll be discussing how to determine what fitness means to you and your life. And if you're a fan of the show, please remember to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and to leave a review if you enjoyed listening. So let's get started. So Alan, thank you for hopping on my show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul. I'm really excited to be here. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really a great discussion on understanding fitness and what fitness means to you. But first, why don't you give the audience a quick overview of who you are and kind of your background?
Well, I started out as an athlete younger, and then I kind of gave that up to go into the corporate world. You know, we're all supposed to try to aspire to be that 39-year-old vice president of a Fortune 500 company, this guy, right? Yeah. But in doing so, I sacrificed pretty much everything else. I sacrificed my health. I sacrificed my fitness. I sacrificed relationships. Quite frankly, I was right where I wanted to be with my career, but I was miserable. And there was a wake-up call that happened as a result of just not being where I'm supposed to be and being who I'm supposed to be. But it took me 8 years to kind of crawl out of that hole. It would be crawl out a little and then slide back in, crawl out a little and slide back in. And really, a lot of it was just the fact that I had not really defined who I needed to be. I was going at something because that's what you do. You know, you see the insanity workout on the Sunday. Sunday television, you're watching this infomercial and you see on T and dude's fit and you're like, okay, I can do that because they're not using any equipment. I could do that in a hotel room if I had to, or even in an airport. That's awesome. Guess what? I'm not any of those people in any of those videos, and I'm not Sean T. And as soon as I tried to be like that, I broke myself and I gave up. And so I kept trying to be somebody else. I kept trying to be the athlete I was when I was 29 years old, but I was in my 40s. And so it just wasn't working. Nothing was working for me. And for a lot of people, I think you get started and you're excited and you want to do something. And then you find yourself broken, or you find yourself hurt, or you find yourself just not feeling it. And you, it's so hard. Why is this so hard? I used to be able to. I used to, you know, all that's in your head. And you can't get that headspace of saying, well, wait a minute, who the heck am I now? And what would it be if I were just marginally better at this thing called fitness? What if I were just marginally healthier tomorrow than I am today? You start realizing it's like, no, I can't be who I was when I was 29.
Right.
But if I can give a little bit and get a little bit and I just keep that going, I can accomplish amazing things. And I think that's where the struggle is. We see the influencers and we see the movie stars and we see the magazines and you're like, well, I want to look like Iron Man. I want to look like Captain America, you know, or Thor, or whatever your body type is, you know, and whatever you want to be. And you're like, I was like that when I was younger. Why am I not like that now? You know, and you even see the 50, 60, 70, 80-year-old bodybuilders out there. And it's like, cripes. Why am I not? Okay. Because you spent 30 years of your life not doing those things. And so whatever that is, whether it's a few years, a decade, or whatever it was, you can't look backwards. You can only look forward. And if you're going to look forward, then you got to have that reality check with yourself to say, okay, where am I now and where do I want to go? And everybody's path, and that's what I think we're going to get into today, is everybody's path, everybody's direction is different. I don't even know where you live.
Dallas.
So if I live in Panama. If I wanted to drive to Houston, I'm generally going north. If you want to drive to Houston, you're generally driving south.
Right.
But not directly south. And for me, not directly north. So there is some caveats to getting where you want to go, some tweaking, some directions, some things you're going to have to know as you get going so that you get there efficiently and effectively.
Right.
And so we're all starting from somewhere and we're all going somewhere. And I can say you and I are both trying to go to Houston, but mm-hmm. I might be trying to go to Houston and you might be trying to go to Seattle. And again, right. totally different trips, starting from different places, ending up in different places. And that's where the magic of all this is if you start thinking about your life in the terms of just moving in the right direction, getting a little bit done each day, and then recovering, resting, doing all the stuff you're supposed to do to get your fitness where it's supposed to be. It's not all about what you do in the gym. It starts to come together. And when mm-hmm. it does, it's like magic. It's like, you know, everybody, you get in a car with a really strong engine. Okay. And you know that you feel that purring, you feel the engine, you know, and then when it starts to pull out, like you're pulling out, you feel that acceleration and that's exciting. But most of the trip, you've gotten to the speed limit and you're just going with the speed limit you're allowed to go or that you can go. It doesn't feel as exciting. It's still a big engine and you're tooting along at 70 miles an hour. Maybe right. a little faster in Texas because, you know, you can get away with that kind of yeah. stuff there. Right. but you're doing what you can do with what you have and you're moving. But once you get past that acceleration, now it's just the doing. Now it's just the, okay, I'm moving in a direction. I don't feel the acceleration, but I know I'm moving and you're moving towards a direction. And that's why all of this, knowing where you want to go, knowing where you belong and kind of having that all in the background of this whole thing makes this a lot easier and makes it all make a lot more sense.
Yeah. I want to go back to something you brought up about how you had to kind of go through a journey of figuring out what fitness meant to you. And it wasn't what an influencer was doing or what you saw on TV. It was what are you going to do? What does it mean for you? Why is that such a struggle for people to kind of figure out their own path with fitness? And I think a lot of people just try to copy or just, you know, imitate someone else. Why is it so hard for people to just figure out what they want to do for themselves?
Well, there's really two sides to this. One is, were you an athlete before? Who were you before?
That's true.
A lot of us look back and we have our glory days, you know. When I was in high school. I threw for 4 touchdowns and, you know, you know, still the leading tackler of the game, you know.
Right.
You have those stories and some of them are true and some of them are not. But you have that understanding of who you were. Now, I was really good at sand volleyball when I was younger, playing in money tournaments and really good at the game. And then here I was 39 years old and I couldn't make it through a single game of 6-on-6 sand volleyball. Okay. So for me, that was like, where am I? What happened to this dude? I miss him. I need him back. I didn't know how to get there because all I knew about exercise and fitness was what I knew when I was in my 20s, which was work as hard as you can, do as much as you can, 6 hours in the gym. So what? Mm-hmm. And my body wasn't equipped to do those kind of things anymore. I had to be smarter. I had to train different and I had to get myself actually to that because where I had spent, you know, 20 some odd years of my life always exercising, it was nothing to add a little bit of volume, you know, an extra hour of volume here, hour of volume there, two a days in football practice, you know, that you just did it. That's what you did. And then you had hell week and then you know, you just did it. At 40 years old, no, don't do 2-a-days. You don't do 2-a-days, at least not at the beginning. And so there's that where we're comparing ourselves against who we were before. But then there's the other side of it of fitness is a huge, huge market.
Right.
And if I show you a set of 6-pack abs on a 47 or 57 year old man and say, hey, you can have what I have. I'm going to sell some workouts.
Right.
I'm going to sell some supplements. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so there's money and the money's telling that, you know, they're selling you something. Now, what you don't know about that 47, 57, 60, whatever year old dude is the dude was an Olympic athlete.
Right.
He spent all of his 20s and 30s training. He's had a 6-pack abs since he was 12. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's genetic gifts there. There's the fact that he never got out of shape. Mm-hmm. He never put on extra pounds that he had to lose. So it was never a big deal for him to drop from 12% body fat down to the 6% body fat that you see in the single image that's on his website. that he couldn't maintain more than a couple of days because he was dehydrated and not feeling well. But they sell that to you. So you think it's like, well, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is, you know, he was in Iron Man. I don't know if you remember the first Iron Man, but he was sitting there pounding in his forearms and his arms. And you're just like, holy shit, he's the same age as me.
Yeah.
And I'm not Iron Man, you know, and that was kind of a realization for me is like, I want that. That's kind of what the vision is, I guess, at that point it was, because I didn't have a better one of what fitness was. So I want that. And so it's so alluring to think, okay, six pack abs, you know, the ability to do all these crazy Iron Man stuff or, you know, all the stuff that's out there without really checking in with yourself and saying, what does fitness actually mean to me as a human being? And so I walked through it and I realized, you know, what I really want to do is I want to be a participant in my daughter's life. She was getting into CrossFit and all these mud runs. I said, you know, I want to be a participant. I don't want to be a spectator in her life, which means, yes, I do need to get to a level of fitness that's beyond what most 47-year-olds have to be able to do that. Now, I've done that. We did that. And I'm like, okay, what's next? Well, I don't know what my grandchildren are going to be doing in 10, 15, 20 years. But I want to be the grandpa with a little bit of training. I'm out there doing it with them. Now I'm sitting on the floor watching SpongeBob with them on a iPad, you know, but I'm the grandpa that can get on the floor, get back up. I'm not sitting in a chair,
right,
looking down on them, spectating their life. I'm participating. I can get on the floor. I can roll around. I can play. When they get up 5 seconds later, I'm up. I'm following them. If I take them to the zoo, they aren't outrunning me, you know, and then I take it on. I say, okay, so grandchildren all the way through, I want to be the guy who, when I'm 105, I can wipe my own butt. And people kind of joke with that. Like, oh my God, that's hilarious. He wants to be able to wipe his own butt when he's 105. There's not a lot of people over 105 that can wipe their own butt.
Right.
And so I want independence. I want capacity. If I'm sitting on the couch watching Jeopardy, which I figure they'll still have Jeopardy on then. They're always going to have Jeopardy on.
Probably.
Then I got to get up, right? It's time. And I got to go to the bathroom. So I got to get up from that couch. I got to sprint across the room. It'll be a sprint for 105-year-old anyway. Go to the bathroom, get down, but squat down. Squat. Fundamental movement. Always going to be a fundamental movement. Okay. Squat down, go to the bathroom, have the dexterity and the capacity and balance to take care of my paperwork. I got to stand back up from that squat in a seated position. And I want to do it without bars all around, because eventually you lean on the bars and you're using your arms as much as your legs, and then they aren't strong enough. And so, you know, it's just this aging curve that's going to happen whether I like it or not. But I want to do it on my terms. And so when I talk about aging or fitness for task or what does fitness mean, it's going to mean something different for each of us. But I think when you break it down, it's what you want is you want to feel strong and capable and independent and all those different things. And yeah, you want to look good.
Right.
but not everybody's going to be a CrossFit athlete. Not everybody's going to look like that, you know? And so if it doesn't look the same, but you're capable of doing the things you love, you're winning at this fitness game.
Right. It sounds like what you're describing is trying to figure out your why or your reason for doing whatever. So in this case, fitness, and everybody's going to have a different reason. But how do people balance the realistic goals versus the, like you said, not everyone's going to be look like a CrossFit athlete or have a six pack. So how can people balance that, you know, the desire versus what's actually realistic?
Well, one of the things that I work with my clients on, and this is where the rubber hits the road on all this, is the muscle that means the most for fitness is the one between your ears. Okay. If you believe you can push more weight, you're going to push more weight. If you believe you can run faster, you run faster. That's the first thing you got to accomplish is get your brain on board. Now, our brain and our body are going to have capabilities, individual capabilities.
Right.
You might be able to run faster than me. I might be a little stronger than you, or vice versa. You might be really flexible and mobile, and I might have really good balance and dexterity. It makes us different athletes. That's why you look on a sports field, you see all these different types of athletes.
Right.
They're all super fit. We'll define which one's the fittest.
Right.
And the answer is it depends. Are you a point guard mm-hmm. for a basketball team, or are you an offensive lineman?
Right.
And again, or a CrossFit athlete. And so it's just this dynamic. So knowing what you're capable of doing today, both mentally and physically, is very important, because if you're capable, then you have those superpowers, those things. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you look at what your limitations are. So if you know you can't walk by an ice cream cooler without opening up a gallon of Haagen-Dazs and going nuts, right. then that's got to factor into the way you plan this stuff. Mm-hmm. If you know that, okay, I'm going to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I'm going to hit that snooze 6 times rather than get up and do my workout, then you know you kind of have that limitation. So mm-hmm. you've got to start putting in the work, sometimes the strategies and tactics, to get there. So many people try to start with the strategies and tactics. They say, okay, give me the workout. You know, I want to look like you, Paul. Yeah. I want the big arms. I want the shoulders. I want that look. Okay. So give me the workout, right? I'm going to start with the strategies or tactics to get what I think you have that I want. And we start with that. Whereas instead of I sat there and said, you know, well, okay, Paul's going to send me over this workout. And okay, the squats is 3 at 350, you know, 3 sets at 315. And then, you know, he's going to want me to do these deadlifts starting at 405 and working up until I, you know, sets of 1, 2, 3, 3, 1. Yeah. And then as many ones as I can get done. Okay. Well, you know, am I going to be capable of doing that? And the answer is no.
Right.
So, You've got to sit down and kind of break down the vision. And you are absolutely right. It's taking your why and putting your vision together and saying, what does this look like? Where am I going? And then just like in a GPS, your car does this for you, but you've got to do this for yourself in fitness to say, okay, where am I starting from? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's as simple as just saying, I'm going to go into the gym and I'm going to put 45, I've got the 45 pound bar and I'm going to do my squats with a 45 pound bar. I'm not going to start with a 315. I'm going to start with a 45 and I'm going to get my form right, because I'm over 40. If I break myself,
right,
it's going to take me longer to come back. Mm-hmm. So I start with 45 pounds. And is it embarrassing to be in the gym with just the bar, with not even the collars, you know, not even the collars? Mm-hmm. Is it embarrassing? Well, it could be, but guess where I'd be more embarrassed? Sitting on my couch, not doing it.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, so I'm capable to do the 45, and then I'm going to be capable of 55, and then I'm going to be capable of 65, and on those gentle nudges as my body gets stronger and it tells my muscles to get bigger and stronger, and I can mm-hmm. see it happening, and I get under that weight and I feel better. And I'm like, now I'm at, you know, 100, and now I'm putting on the big boy plates, the 35s. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all that's kind of going, I'm like, this is driving. Like, I'm a person like, yeah, success drives success for me. Now it's not mm-hmm. everybody. Sometimes they need something else to drive them. But for me, success drives success.
Right.
And so as soon as I started seeing bigger plates get, you know, bigger plates on the bar, more weight. I see this question all the time online. What's the best pre-workout? Well, I can tell you right now, for me, it's weight on the bar. Mm-hmm. When I get the weight on the bar and I turn around and look at that bar, and that bar is laughing at me, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that bar is laughing at me. And my job to be who I'm supposed to be is 3 sets of 8. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing them. And I'm taking my full 1 minute break between those sets. Mm-hmm. And I'm getting them done. Now, if my energy level's low, I'm fatigued, something's going on, you know, I might not get those 8.
Right.
But I start every single set with 8. That's my answer. I don't care how much weight's on there. It's 8 is the answer. That's how many I'm doing, you know? And so it was just that, it's just that setting that mindset, understanding what drives you. And that's, you know, I've worked with so many people and working through my own issues and realizing, okay, when I first started, I was a windshield person, meaning I was spending more time looking back at who I was when I was 29 than I was at looking forward to who I'm going to be at 99. Mm-hmm. And where I was at 49. And so for me, it was like, okay, I got to do this today mm-hmm. because this is going to make me better tomorrow. Right. And then, you know, I noticed that, okay, if I didn't make progress, I felt like I was spinning my wheels. I wasn't getting traction. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't getting traction, it was easy to quit. Find myself saying, you know, I just can't break through this plateau and da, 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 da. And then there was no workarounds. Like I hit the same bar, same plates, and it's stuck. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, and back then I was like, I don't know. And I'd quit. I said, okay, this sucks. I'm going to work on stamina for a while. Yeah. I need some stamina.
Right.
So instead of working on my strength, I'd go work on stamina for a while. Guess what? I wouldn't happen while I was working on stamina. I wouldn't magically get stronger. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it was just not, if I didn't have traction, I wasn't moving. Now what I find is I like having something big in front of me. Give me something big and scary, like not being able to wipe my own butt. Give me something big and scary and I'm going to work toward doing it, like doing a tough mutter with my CrossFit, level one CrossFit daughter.
Yeah.
Give me something scary and big and I'm going to work toward it. I'm going to become the man that's necessary to do the work. To do that thing. So that's what drive me is. Now there's two other archetypes that I find. One of them is what I call the pedals. And that's the person who sees every workout that comes out. And they're like, oh, you know, this is what this guy's doing. I'm going to do that workout today. And like, oh, I just read about this. Oh, they're doing 100s. So I'm going to do 100 bicep curls today. And that's going to make my arms pop. Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, it's like they just, everything new. It's like, what's new? What I'm going to try. And they don't ever really get anything done because they're just always trying out the new thing. It's a new supplement. Right. It's new this. What workouts, you know, pre-workout should I use? And it's like, what, you know, should I be supplementing with creatine or not? And they're just always asking these kind of questions. I'm like, well, are you even lifting weights? Mm-hmm. Well, no, not yet. I just want to make sure I get my supplements right first. Then I'll go to the gym. you know, and so there's the people that they really are spending more time with their foot on the brake than they are on the gas because they just don't just find something and say for at least 4 weeks, 6 weeks, I'm charging with this. Mm-hmm. This is my program. If I start to plateau or I'm not getting anything out of this one, I'll switch, but I'm going to do this till it stops working. And so there's people that'll do that. And then the final one is, and this tends to be more for the ladies, but some men get into this too, is we're the providers. We got to take care of everybody else.
Right.
So I'm spending all this time taking care of everybody else, or I got this job and my, you know, I'm working 16 hours. And so they need me at work, you know, for that whole 16 hours. And so I can't, you know, I couldn't just take a break in the middle of the day and go work out. That's crazy. And so they spend more time taking care of everybody else and they don't necessarily take care of themselves and they don't ask for help when they need it. And so they basically have, and they have all these people that are like, you know, they tell their wife or tell their husband, I'm going to try to lose some weight. And suddenly he's bringing donuts home from work. Yeah. You know, it's like, hey, I've got some donuts. So you know, you like these. And you're like, what the hell, dude? I'm on a diet, you know? And so you got the people that don't have the support. They don't ask for the support. And they basically feel like they have to take care of everybody else first. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all these different archetypes. And I think if you like listen to this, you might say, well, damn, I'm all five of them. and at some point in your life, you probably are. And you are a little bit of each one. If you really think about it and take the time to analyze where you're starting from, you're going to see a little bit of each of those in yourself. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a dominant one. And as soon as you start solving these little mindset problems, because they are actually really little once you know what it is, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I need traction. I need traction if I'm going to get results. And so what do I need to do traction? It's like, okay, I need a consistency challenge. Okay. So what's my workout? Well, my workout is to be in the gym and do a full body workout twice a week, every week. Hey, Betty, I'm about to start the middle of February or the beginning of March. Okay. For the next 6 weeks, 2 days per week, my butt's in there lifting these weights. Mm-hmm. Just two days, 45 minutes, 2 days a week, full body workout. I'm starting with that. And you start getting that traction. You start seeing the plates go on that bar. You start seeing bigger plates on that bar. And you're like, oh, now I feel it. Now I feel the traction. I feel this happening. I can do this. And you start really just getting into it. So everybody's going to feel like they have little bits and pieces of this. There's going to be a dominant one. But once you find that, it's like dominoes. It's like, oh, wow. I know where I want to go. I know where I'm starting from. And I know the biggest challenge is me. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you get past yourself, fitness becomes fun. Mm-hmm. It just does.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think once you get to that enjoyment phase of fitness, that's when things really start to fall into place, right? Like, obviously, if you hate it, then you're not going to stick with it for very long. But I do want to talk about the obstacles that people face. And I think you have a fitness blocker quiz, right? Is that on this on the same vein of what you're talking about?
It is. Because again, you're going to have this main obstacle, this main thing that's blocking you. And it's hard to see when you're down in it. You know, you're in the muck and it's right there. And you're like, I don't understand. I want to be up there.
Right.
And I don't know what's keeping me down here. And so as soon as you kind of figure that out, it's like, oh, okay, I need a challenge. Or, I need to ask my wife if she can do this for me in the morning so I can have the 45 minutes I need to go in the gym. Or I need to set a challenge for myself to be consistent for like 6 weeks. And then I'll know. Then I'll know if this is the right workout for me. And again, I'm not switching workouts every 6 weeks. So, you know, it's just those things of getting through. This will give you that. Take you about a minute to actually go through this quiz. So that's what's really cool about it is I can break it down for you pretty quickly because I've worked with thousands of people and had these conversations so many times that I literally have a conversation with someone in a few minutes, tell them, okay, look, here's the next thing you need to do, because when you break this blocker, the dominoes start to tumble. And so you can go to 40plusfitness.com/fit, F-I-T. So 40plusfitness, that's 40, P-L-U-S, fitness.fit. And that'll take you to the quiz, take you about a minute, and you'll know kind of which one of these you are. And based on what Paul and I have been talking about this podcast here, you're going to kind of get an idea that, okay, this is what I need in front of me. This is what I got to get behind me and forget. This is how I need to make this happen for me. It just, again, I think once you do this, it just, you get out of your own way and good things start to happen for you.
Yeah, you beat me to my question. I was going to ask where can people find that. So I'm glad you brought that up for people that are listening. And I'll make sure to include that link as well in the podcast so people can find that. But Alan, I want to thank you again for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and you dropped a lot of great, great nuggets that are going to think people are going to get some really good takeaways from. So again, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you, Paul. I appreciate what you're doing here. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You're helping a lot of people. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. All right. Well, that wraps up today's episode, and thank you very much for listening. And again, make sure to check out Alan on the social media links in the podcast notes, which I'll provide below. And if you're a fan of the show, please remember to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and to leave a review. Enjoy listening. And until next episode, take care of yourselves. And remember, the best project you'll ever work on is you.